Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. During the break, a question came up about the sessions we're doing in the morning, and that is that we had planned on doing Q&A, and last session we didn't really get all the time for Q&A. So the question was, well, were we going to do Q&A now? Well, no, we're going to go on Romans now. We'll try to allow more time next Sunday for the first session for Q&A. So please bring your questions, and we'll get them answered that way. I didn't think that the lesson this morning would take quite as long as it did, but that's okay. It's important information. All right, open your Bibles this morning, Romans chapter number 9. We're going to pick up at verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. You should be excited and proud. We're making progress, right? So, all right, Romans chapter 9, verse 30. He says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, to everyone that..." What's the last word there? Don't you love that word right there? Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful again that we can stand here before Your Word. It opened up before us, and we have Your Word perfectly preserved in our generation. And that we can believe, read what it says and believe it. And we pray and ask for insight as we study this morning, that we would especially appreciate once again the simplicity of righteousness by faith. Faith alone, resting, being able to rest alone in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we give these praise and thanksgiving. Amen. All right, well, let's just take a moment briefly again to review what we're dealing with in this section. Romans 9 through 11, of course, is Paul's dispensational section here in Romans. Someone recently emailed me a question out of Romans 11, and real good question, and I emailed back and I reminded them that, well, you got to remember that when you're in Romans 9 through 11, you're in that dispensational section where Paul is dealing with the big picture, what happened to Israel. So it is vital that when you read this section that you got to keep that in mind. In chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul is asking and answering the question, well, if all the promises and the law and the service of God, if that all pertained to Israel, and if the kingdom of heaven actually was at hand, well, then why is it that the kingdom didn't get set up? Why is it that Israel is not even yet to this day receiving the fulfillment of those promises? And in Romans chapter number 9, Paul goes through a series of objections and answers to that question. The first one is at verse 6. Romans 9, 6, "Not as though the word of God hath taken an effect." So, like you're saying, the reason that Israel isn't receiving their kingdom yet isn't because the word of God has taken an effect. It's not because the word of God failed. The word of God never fails. By the way, are you glad for that? The word of God not only never has failed, but never can fail, never will fail. It's not that the word of God has taken an effect. God's word produced exactly what it prophesied. Okay, well then, next objection, verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? So the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Christ died, rose from the dead. God sent the Holy Spirit. So they were in the last days. So the kingdom should have come, right? And it didn't. So is there unrighteousness with God? No, Paul says, no, that's not the reason it hasn't come. In fact, he goes back to Israel's illustration of Israel, that at a time when Israel deserved wrath in time past, God didn't pour out His wrath. He extended mercy to accomplish something else. So too at Pentecost in Acts 7, Israel deserved wrath. The world deserved wrath, but God didn't pour out His wrath because He had another purpose. He poured out grace. Well, so then, look at verse 19. We studied this last week. Now we'll say then, why does He yet find fault? What was the reason for the delay now? Why does He find fault with continuing on then? What was the reason now? Well, we looked at that last time, that God, in time past, He, because of Israel's rebellion, because of Israel's failure to keep the law, and their failure to respond to repeated calls to repentance, God shaped Israel from a vessel of honor to a vessel of dishonor. And during that time of them being shaped into a vessel of dishonor, God is doing something different. And He promises to go back and shape them into a vessel of honor again. As, if you'll look at verse 25, as He saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. See the repeated reference, God is going to go back. He is going to go back. He is going to go back. So the reason He finds fault now is because of Israel's unbelief and blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. They have now been shaped to a vessel of dishonor. And during this time, God is, look at verse 23, He is, it says, and that He might make known, here's what He's doing. He's making known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory, even, next word there, who does that include? That's us, you betcha. Are you glad for that? You bet. It says, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. See, the offer is to all the world today. Are you glad that the offer is to all the world today? Yes or no? Why? Why are you glad that it's to all the world? Because that way includes you. Go ahead, you had a question. Yeah. It actually is. Great question. Look, the question is the remnant, see verse 27, it says, Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And the question is that remnant the same remnant as, look over to chapter 5, I'm sorry, 11 verse 5, 11 verse 5, even so then at this present time, at the time that Paul was writing the book of Romans, at that time period covered by what we would say the book of Acts, for example. Oops, come on now, that doesn't want to erase there. Anyway. If you just in your mind, if you look at it this way, you've got Acts, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, right? Acts 1 through 7, you've got 1 through 7 there, that records Israel's response to the renewed opportunity to repent. How did they respond? Not so good. God, the Lord Jesus Christ pours out the Holy Spirit there. In Acts 7, that's when Israel makes their official response by stoning Stephen. And hence, that's when they commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle. He's saved in Acts 9, right? And of course, from Acts 9 to Acts 28, that's when you have Paul's written ministry, the transition period to the prophetic to the mystery program. But in the early Acts there, did all of Israel commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? They didn't, right? A number of them got saved, 4,000 and 5,000, and so there's probably at least 20 or 30,000 by the time you get to Acts chapter 7. Quite a large group, but still a teeny tiny remnant compared to the size of the nation. So when Paul is writing the book of Romans, he writes the book of Romans out here about Acts 20, and that little flock right there, or the believing remnant there in early Acts, those people are still alive out here. That's what he's talking about when he writes Romans. He's saying, even at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Go ahead. That was back in Elijah's day. If you look at the question was, who are the 7,000 there? See, back at verse 4, he says, but what saith the answer of God to him? Him is Elijah. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed. He's demonstrating what Paul's doing. He's demonstrating that at a time that he's even writing Romans and so forth, that there was a believing remnant of that Jewish nation. That remnant was not blinded. That remnant, they're the believing remnant and so forth. And he's using the illustration from Israel's history that back in Elijah's day, the whole nation was in apostasy. Elijah thought that everybody was abandoned and he was alone, nobody else with him. And God says, don't worry, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed beneath the image of Baal. So he's using that as an illustration. All right. And that's an excellent point there. It's actually going to tie in here in a few minutes, when we, a little bit further in the message here. But when he says at verse 27 and 9:27, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Prophecy declared that there was always a remnant within the nation. And we looked at that occasionally. All the way through the Old Testament, you saw that remnant. And that remnant was in existence there in early Acts. They're in existence when Paul writes Romans. In the book of Galatians, Paul mentions the phrase, the Israel of God. That's who they are. That Israel of God is not a reference to you. It's not a reference to believers today. It's a reference to that little flock, that remnant that was still alive at that time. Now, they, of course, obviously have all died off and so forth. All right? So, if you look... back at the end of chapter number 9 here. So if those aren't the reasons that the kingdom hasn't come yet, if it's not because the Word of God failed, it's not because there's unrighteousness of God, it's not because God had no reason and so forth, instead what He's doing, God has chosen to take and use the background, the backdrop of Israel committing the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, hence deserving wrath, He's chosen to do something different, and that is to extend a message of righteousness, I should say it this way, to offer a message of righteousness. I'm just going to do it this way, RN. That doesn't mean nurse, it means righteousness, okay? If you're in nursing, that means nurse, all right? But anyway, righteousness, that means righteousness, okay? And so what he's doing today is that that didn't make sense, did it? Anyway, well, it's supposed to say RN. See the little R there? See that little, like, okay? What's that? Is that even worse? Watch this now. I'll make this better. You got RN. That means righteousness. How's that? Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. So what God's doing today is He's offering righteousness, but righteousness, notice, by faith. And it's interesting that He's offering it out among the Gentiles. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. What shall we say then? See the sequence of questions? Okay, Israel doesn't have their kingdom yet. Not because the Word of God failed. Not because God is unrighteous. Instead, He found fault. He delayed the wrath to extend, as it said back at verse 23, riches of His glory on vessels of mercy. So, verse 30, so what shall we say then? What's He doing then? Here's what He's doing. See the flow here? What shall we say then? Here's what we're saying. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? How come they didn't get righteousness? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. See what Paul is telling us here in this context, that the reason that Israel hasn't got their kingdom is that God is using against the backdrop of Israel's rebellion and blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. God is taking and offering righteousness by faith out among, God's out working among the Gentiles now. He's out making an offer of righteousness to the Gentiles now. Now, two things to notice very quickly here, very important. See the word righteousness. I don't know if you had a chance to count. Anybody here interested in Bible numbers? Come on, Jonathan, where's your hand there? Look at your hand up. This is awesome. I love that. Okay? I don't know if you had a chance. When you get a chance, go and read this section, verse 30, all the way to chapter 10 and verse 11. We're not going to study all that this morning, obviously, but we'll get there. But if you'll notice the word righteousness, and by the way, you can't not notice the word righteousness through this section. The word righteousness from chapter 9, verse 30, all the way through chapter 10, verse 11, it appears 12 times. That's fascinating. Hey, Jonathan, can I ask you what the number 12 means? Chip, promise. That's so exciting. The number 12 is Israel's number, right? But it's Israel's number because God's going to keep His promise with Israel. He's going to keep all His promises. But righteousness appears 12 times in this section. Is there maybe a message in this somewhere, you think? The issue is righteousness. But how is someone going to get that righteousness? Well, if you look at verse 30 again, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness. Okay, then what were they following? Yeah, sin and idolatry. Look at the Thessalonians. He says, you turned to God from idols. He says about the Corinthians, he says, you know that you were carried away unto these dumb idols. The Gentiles weren't following righteousness. The Gentiles weren't out trying to keep God's word. The Gentiles were off doing their own thing. God had given up with the Gentiles all the way back from Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. He just let them walk in their own way. And hence, they just perpetuated idolatry. But what he does now through Paul's ministry, he goes out and preaches a message out among the Gentiles of righteousness, but notice, by faith. Look how it says it at verse 30 again. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is what? Which is of faith. Question. If it's the righteousness of faith, how do you get it? Yeah, just by believing it. If it's the righteousness which is of faith, then how is it going to be put to your account? Look back a little bit earlier in the book of Romans. Look over to Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter number 3, verse 21. He says, Romans 3:21, but now. That's a now time declaration, right? That's a dispensational declaration. Romans 3:21. But now, the righteousness of who? So whose righteousness are we talking about anyway? The righteousness of God. We're talking about God's righteousness. He says, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. So if it's unto all, who does that include? Everyone. Jew and Gentile alike. But notice it's upon all them that what? That believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare something, to declare His righteousness, that's God's righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All those sins that were committed from Adam up till the cross, all those sins under the Old Covenant. The cross is a declaration of the righteousness of God, how God was righteous in dealing with men in time past, even though the blood of Christ had not been shed yet. God dealt was righteous in forgiving men in time past if they simply believed what He said. Jeff was talking during the break about the gospel in Noah's day. What was the gospel in Noah's day? Yeah, you better come and join us on this cruise. You know? There's nothing about the blood of Christ. But then, if they weren't told about the blood of Christ, how could Noah have been a justified man? He didn't know to trust the blood of Christ. Because of faith, the righteousness which is of faith, he believed what God says. The crosswork of Christ is a declaration of the righteousness of God, how God has righteously dealt with sins of the past. But not only that, look at what it goes on to say. at verse 26. To declare, I say, notice, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? You betcha, verse 25, He's the propitiation, He shed His blood. So verse 27, so where's boasting then? It's what? It's excluded. To exclude something is to do what? It's to be not politically correct, okay? To exclude something is to what? It's not on the table. It's nowhere in the discussion. It's nowhere. You kick it out. It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of believing God. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Go back to chapter number 9 quickly. Are you glad for that part of the verse, by the way? That you're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Paul is saying that, listen, dispensationally, God is out working among the Gentiles today. The Gentiles weren't seeking righteousness. They were seeking idols. But that message of righteousness by faith is being offered to all today. And anyone who will simply believe it, they get it. Because God is justifying the ungodly, so His faith is counted for righteousness. Now, by contrast, look at what he says at verse 31. Verse 31, not back at 9, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness. Automatically, that used to tell you a problem, right? Question. And it's a theoretical question. Does the law offer righteousness? It sure does. It absolutely does offer righteousness. You just got to keep it. But see, that was a different question, right? You have to listen to what these sneaky preachers say, right? You know? Does the law offer, does it hold out righteousness? You betcha. Moses told Israel, you guys are reading through the zone, so you should be in Deuteronomy, right? You're pretty close to the end of it. Moses told Israel, he says, guys, this is our righteousness if we'll do and observe the law in the land and so forth. The law does hold out righteousness. It's called the law of righteousness. There's a righteousness that you can attain to if you keep the law. Any problem with that? Yeah. Who's the only person that has ever kept the law? The Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see here at verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now, how come? I mean, simply, how come? Because of sin in the flesh. It is impossible to be justified by a system that you fail to keep. When confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ told Israel, He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And they said, we've never been bondage to any man, and how sayest thou that you're going to make us free? Listen, at the time that Israel said that, they were in bondage to sin, they were in bondage to the law, they're in bondage to the flesh. They were in bondage to Rome. And they're in bondage to the lie program. And yet they thought, they had the audacity to say, we've never been in bondage to any man. You guys forgot Egypt and Babylon, did you? But you see how religion seeking righteousness by works has you so busy focused on self. Performance, maintaining, obtaining, that you never have a chance just to stop and realize how totally exhausted and worn out you are, and you don't have a chance of getting there that way. That phrase is just amazing. And he says at verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? How come? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. Go to chapter 3 once again. Go to chapter 3 once again in Romans. Look at verse 19 and 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Romans 3:19 says this, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith." Well, what does the law say? Yeah, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Basically, the law says, be perfect. And it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." And that's whose sight matters, right? "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Look over to chapter 4. Look over to chapter 4. And look with me, if you would, to verse 15. Because the law worketh what? So wait a minute now. You're trying to attain the righteousness of the law, but the law basically stops your mouth saying you don't keep it, you never have and never will, by your own flesh, and it works wrath. So where's the good news in that? Where's the freedom in that? Where's the peace in that? Where's the resting in that? Not only that, go with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians 3 here. Go to Galatians 3. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. Look at Galatians 3, start with me at verse 10. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law..." Okay, that's the same phrase over in Romans 9, "by the works of the law." Right, same phrase. You see that? That's Romans 9:32. So he says at verse 10, Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under what?" They're under the curse. They're not under the righteousness of it, in the sense of attaining righteousness. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Fundamentally, what's the problem with trying to attain to the law of righteousness? The problem is you've got to obey every single one of them. He goes on to say this, verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." And that's who it matters, right? "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." For what? What makes it evident? Here's what makes it evident. "The just shall live by faith." That's what makes it evident. The statement that the just shall live by faith, which, by the way, that's a quote from the Old Testament, makes it evident that the very purpose of the law, even given to the nation of Israel, was to show to Israel that they didn't and couldn't keep it. He says at verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of what?" Then what is it of? It's of works. It's the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not a system of faith where you get justified by faith. The law is a system that if you do what it says, how often? All the time, 100%, every second of your life, then you get the righteousness that it offers. Look with me to hold Galatians. We're going to come back to Galatians 3 just a moment. Go with me to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Look at Acts chapter 15. Watch this. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Okay. Is there any good news in that? Ouch, she says. Well, at least they were 8 days old when, you know, so they didn't remember. Some of y'all had no idea what Judges said there. Look at verse 2. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation." Listen, don't you ever get the idea that dissenting and disputing is wrong. Sometimes people say, oh, you Christian people, you're dissenting about this and disputing about that. And you just all. Listen, sometimes there needs to be no small dissension and disputation. This is one of those cases. He says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question, which they do." Paul goes down and talks with them. I want you to know something that Peter says. Peter, as the head of the 12 apostles, 11 at this point, because one of them had been killed. But watch what Peter says. At verse 15:10. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" What has Peter just acknowledged to his audience there? He says, listen, we haven't been able to bear this, and neither our fathers. This cannot possibly, keeping the law cannot possibly be the way to be right in the eyes of God. Even Peter acknowledges that. Isn't that fascinating? Go back to Galatians 3 now. What then was the purpose of the law? Go back to Galatians 3 now. He says at verse 22, he says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of," and that's not in, "but faith of Jesus Christ might be," next word there, "given." Given. And it's given as a free gift. I'm at Galatians 3:22. "Given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. See that? Okay, question. Listen. What was the purpose for which God gave Israel that law? To show them that what? That they were no different than Adam. That they fundamentally, in heart and nature, they were no different than the Gentiles. They were sinners just like them. And that if they were going to be right in the eyes of their God, the God who had set them apart to be His people, they were going to have to be right through their Messiah. The law was to point them to Christ. How? By showing them they had a need and that need could not be satisfied by their law keeping. Go back with me now to Romans 9. Go back to Romans 9. So watch what happens here. Romans 9 says this. Look at verse 31. Romans 9:31. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law." They were seeking righteousness by an impossible way to get it. Listen, that system, that thought, that thinking, that belief didn't die back here. That belief, that thinking is still prominent today. And if that thinking didn't get Israel righteousness, it's not going to get any Gentile righteousness. In fact, Paul goes on to say at chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." It's not a question of zeal. It's not a question of desire. It's not a question of motive, intent, willingness. It's a question of the truth. It says here, for they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, but for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. If you're seeking righteousness by works, then whose is it? It's your righteousness. But if you're seeking God's righteousness, the only way to get it is by faith. Now, watch what happened here. Go back to chapter 9. Watch this. Look at verse 31. And I know we're running out of time. We've got to do this quickly, but watch this. But Israel, verse 31, 9:31, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, who was the stumbling stone? The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 33, as it is written. Paul goes and quotes. Paul quotes from Isaiah 8 and Isaiah 28. He draws on a part of one verse and a part of the other verse and brings them together. And he says this, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, that's Isaiah 28, a stumbling stone and rock of offense, that's Isaiah 8. And then, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, that's back to Isaiah 28. Paul takes two different passages, he couples them together into one verse. Both passages are similar context. We're not time to read it right now. Listen, in both passages that Paul points to, Isaiah 8 and Isaiah 28. Israel was so busy with their religious system. They were so busy trying to attain righteousness by works that back then God promised. He says, listen, there's a time coming when I'm going to lay a stone in Zion. And that stone is going to be the foundation stone. That stone is going to be the chief cornerstone. So it's going to be the foundation of all that I'm going to do. And as the chief cornerstone, it's going to be the stone from which I take all other measurements. But that stone is also going to be a stumbling stone. And a rock of offense. Something you guys are going to be offended at. So what happens is this. Right on time, God sends the Lord Jesus Christ. Here He comes. And God takes the Lord Jesus Christ and He puts Christ right in Israel's face. The path that they're walking down, He puts them right in their way. And what does Israel do? They stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumble right over the Lord Jesus Christ. And get back up and dust themselves off and keep doing what they were doing. So they crucified Christ. They stumble over Him. They reject Him. The stone which the builders rejected. So you know what God does? God picks the stone right back up and He puts the stone right back in their path again. Early Acts. Acts 2 through 7. Right? He puts the stone right back in their way. And they fall over Him again. And instead of taking a double take now and look back and say, you know, that is twice I stumble over that thing. What's in my way? But have you ever just been walking through your house and just stumbled over something? You ever? Yes or no? You never done that before? You feel like a total idiot when that happens, right? I've done it many times, you know. You fall over and, oh man, you know, it was, whatever it was, you stumble over something. At least you look back and you don't... Listen, God put that stone there. They stumble over Him. Cast Him away. He takes and puts Him right back in... And they stumble over Him again. And they don't even take a second take to look back at who it was they stumbled over. Israel was so busy in their religious system. So busy on that religious treadmill. That they didn't even take the time to look back and see who it was that they stumbled over. How many of you guys like to exercise? Anybody here like to exercise? Okay. You know what a treadmill is. Jason, she says. Okay. You know, the one thing about a treadmill is, yeah, you can get some good exercise. You can run a long time or walk a long time and so forth. But the other thing about a treadmill is what? You don't get anywhere. Listen, you stood on that thing, you pushed go, and then you're going like this, right? You're going like this. And you come back an hour later, and you're in the exact same spot there. You didn't get anywhere. You got nowhere. Israel was on that religious treadmill, trying to get righteousness by works. You can't get there on that treadmill. You got to be willing to say, you know what? Maybe God meant this system, the law, to show me that I can't get there that way. And now you want to look somewhere else. God says, yeah, now, take a look back and see who you stumbled over. And you begin to look at the stone, the rock, the foundation, the chief cornerstone. That's what Israel wasn't willing to do. That's what Paul is saying as he comes to the end of chapter number 9. He's saying, guys, that's what I'm saying. Israel, your problem, the reason you did, not you, but he's saying the reason that Israel hasn't yet got their kingdom is because God now is offering righteousness by works, something Israel failed to believe was even possible. Even Gentiles think it's impossible. And yet righteousness by works is what God is offering, by faith. Good, you're with me, right? Thank you. You know, must have been the treadmill, right? He's offering righteousness by faith. It's true. It must be true. It has to be true. Paul says that's the issue right now. What God is doing today in this dispensation, the work out among the Gentiles, unbelieving Israel is out included in the Gentiles. Anyone who will simply come by faith, they'll get righteousness. What a blessed good news that is. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that indeed the wonderful gospel of your grace tells us that we can get off of that religious treadmill and that it's not about us, not about our righteousness, but your righteousness that can only be received by faith, faith alone in the finished work of Christ. And having trusted Him and Him alone, we can continue to daily, moment by moment, rest in your righteousness. We thank you for that in Christ's name.